The effortless way is the better. Turn the tape. As a student under pressure in a circumstance of examination can often find his knowledge has suddenly deserted him, the mind becomes an appalling blank, and inability to recall a single relevant thought is all the mind can comprehend in its overload. And no matter how much effort is exerted, until the mental block is overcome, relaxation is present, and forced thought is abandoned, the mind will remain focused on the blank instead of recall. How many times have you left an examination table only to almost immediately remember the facts? Trying to force memory is the very cause of the memory failure. This is an example of the law of reversed effort, whereby you get the opposite of what you ask for or for what you so diligently prayed. Focus on failure and you cannot win. Focus on winning and you cannot fail. If you accept every happening as an answer in part to your goal achievement. Conflict. If you are to succeed in reaching your desire, you must reconcile that desire with imagination. To use mental force is to presuppose that there is opposition. When your mind is concentrated on the means to overcome a problem, it is no longer concerned with the obstacle. When harmonious union or agreement between your conscious and subconscious on any idea, desire, or mental image, your prayer will be answered, for there is no longer a quarrel in either part of your mind. When you try solving problems, you indicate right from the beginning failure. When you allow problems, solutions to come, consider, evaluate objectively, etc., you will have plenty of alternatives from which to choose. Remember that when you think you have exhausted all possibilities and alternatives, you haven't. Let us consider Ecker's encounters in the moment. Mr. Horn is working directly with the Green Brigade, so it would seem that the disadvantages far outweigh the limited scope allowed Ecker's in a non-related case. Not so. You now have proof of all connections, and this will serve you later to such a great extent as to be even worth the losing of any one case in point. Set the goal to winning all, however, and you can as easily win them all as to consider any one of them. When the enemy teams up, you have the advantage, even if it is elusive to you at the moment. Allow the way to unfold. Consider each factor and aspect, and use each encounter to further prove the conspiracy connections. Remember the focus of each case, and allow your attorney to focus on the point, and allow only the other distractions to enhance other cases. Look at advantage here, as we are even finding the little side attachments, which are simply considerations of little consequence. However, once you know to watch your position from every direction, you will begin to find the friend, the half-friend, the aiding and abetting stand-ins. None can serve two masters. You can tinker around in both camps until you are discovered, but no person can serve two masters. The result is a commercial venture of choices. If little bridges are kept open for the convenience of acquaintanceship, you will find a pattern of coalitions. If you note one adversarial acquaintance and then another and yet another, beware of that party who can't seem to choose has obviously chosen. I wonder how many of you who follow the way of the biblical psalmists know of what is written there in those often wise statements. Let us look at Psalm 19:14 with a bit of wise consideration. Quote, "Let the words of my mouth, your feeling nature, emotion, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, the law of your subconscious mind, my strength and my redeemer, the power and wisdom of your subconscious mind, can redeem you from sickness, bondage, and misery." Another view from the mountain. Inherent in every intention and desire is the mechanics for its fulfillment. Intention and desire in the field of pure potentiality have infinite organizing power. When you introduce an intention into the fertile ground of potentiality, you put this infinite organizing power to work for you. Further, it will be through the law of least effort, as spoken of above, that you accomplish. Nature's intelligence functions with effortless ease, readers, and carefreeness, harmony, and love. When you harness the forces of this harmony, joy, and love, you create success and good fortune with likewise effortless ease. When you confront that which seems to represent a problem of some kind, put yourself into relaxation and recall ideas which work for you. Line up those ideas so that they become a part of each consideration in problem solving. Number one, mental coercion is too much effort, or too much effort shows anxiety and fear which block your answer. Easy does it. Number two, when your mind is relaxed and you accept an idea, your subconscious goes to work to execute the idea. Number three, think and plan independently of traditional methods. Know that there is always an answer and a solution to every problem. Do not be overly concerned with the beating of your heart, with the breathing of your lungs, or the functions of any part of your anatomy. Lean heavily upon your subconscious and proclaim frequently that divine right action is taking place. Number five, the feeling of health produces health. The feeling of wealth produces wealth.
Now there, I intentionally wrote it that way because it will depend on what it is that you focus on, good or bad.
How do you feel? Number six, imagination is your most powerful faculty. Imagine what is lovely and of good report. You are what you imagine yourself to be. Number seven, you avoid conflict between your conscious and subconscious in the sleepy state. Imagine the fulfillment of your desire over and over again prior to sleep. Sleep in peace and awaken in joy. Higher realization. In the wondrous journey through the physical experience, it becomes imperative that you learn to achieve and receive guidance and help from your older brothers in the next dimension. This is as necessary as breathing, for if you cannot accept that there is higher guidance, then you will never move far enough away from that conscious limitation to have realization of desires and wants. Throughout history, in literature speaking of the unknown, there runs the thread of the concept of the divine hierarchy. This divine hierarchy is said to be an organization of members of the spirit world, headed by the ascended masters and staffed with many devoted workers whose last earth lives were spent in study and earnest spiritual service to mankind. The express purpose of this so-called organization is the upliftment of mankind and the furthering of its progress or evolution along spiritual lines. You need to realize that in your conscious state of being, you are totally impacted by that which is around and about you, and therefore objective observation is lacking. Therefore, to stand aside of this conscious brain action, you must consider a higher being, a higher intelligence, or something to which you can shift the gears of consciousness. In other words, you have to learn to let go and let God. Contact with the hierarchy can be most beneficial along material as well as spiritual paths. When you have identified your own teacher and clearly established your contact, you can expect tangible help of any sort you need. Oh, but how do you get that teacher? Your own higher self is the best means of introduction to your spirit teacher. Go to your quiet place and contact your higher self through relaxation and allowance of subconscious being. Then ask yourself to introduce you to your teacher. The reason for having a label on the teacher is to assure the clearance of energy streams into instant recognition. You must form both a subconscious and then a conscious contact. Since your spirit teacher is himself a complete entity in itself, the method of response may be much more varied than the normally internal response, in that you might very well get a physical response of some kind or another. You may see light or sparks, feel a temperature change, feel a breeze, or any number of electrical responses pass through your body, or you may simply be impressed with a new thought of some kind. Don't focus on a certain kind of response lest you miss your introduction. When you recognize that first response, answer immediately. Don't get all choked up with fear and anxiety. This is a normal and natural occurrence. Answer with a heartfelt thank you. And it's wonderful to know you are here. Then ask for the name of your teacher and the recognition symbol, and he will send to let you know of his presence. As you progress in practice, you will undoubtedly attract many teachers. Each will have his own recognition symbol so that you can know who is with you at all times. This is far from being hogwash, you skeptics. The spirit world has more reality than anything in the material world, and it is certainly as important to you, if not ever so much more so. I suggest you do not err in dismissing this as nonsense. From where do you think you get inspiration? How do beings from another dimension help you? To make the how a bit more easily understood, we should look briefly at the particular why. Why should beings from another dimension want to help you? The answer comes clearly from the concept of one God, one universe, one life, and one consciousness. Dwellers in the spirit world, not blinded by the demands of your kind of physical existence, naturally understand this. They know that you are all one in essence, and their individual progress is being furthered by contributing to the overall progress of the species. This begins to become a reality of thought progression, of as you turn to God, God turns to you. Therefore, if you turn to the spirit world in right connection, it eagerly responds to you. The avenue of growth for those on the spirit side of life is to actively help and participate in the evolution of those souls who are currently struggling for growth within the confines of a material body. Thus, you can be sure of the wonderful mutuality of spirit relationships. Helping you helps them. Intention. Intention lays the groundwork for the effortless, spontaneous, frictionless flow of pure potentiality, seeking expression from the unmanifest to the manifest. This is easily recognized as through God and self-judging intent. It is through intent that all is manifest. Desire has no power save through intention. Intention is the valid power behind desire. Intent alone is very powerful, because intent is desire without attachment to the outcome. Desire alone is weak, because desire in most people is attention with attachment. Intent is desire with strict adherence to all the other laws. But particular is an adherence to detachment. If you are to be successful, you must detach self from the moment to be objective and allow intent to push through to fulfillment of the desire. It is important to remember something right here. Intention combined with detachment leads to life-centered present moment awareness. And when action is performed in present moment awareness, it is most effective. Your intent is for the future, but your attention is in the present, which is all you actually have, the present. Therefore, you must accept the present as it is and intend the future. The future is something you can always create through detached intention, but you should never struggle against the present, for it simply is. Remember that the past, present, and future all simply are properties of consciousness. The past is only recollection, memory. The future is anticipation. The present is awareness. Therefore, time is the movement of thought. Both past and future are born in the imagination. Only the present, which is awareness, is real and eternal. It is. It is the potentiality for space, time, matter, and energy. It is an eternal field of possibilities experiencing itself as abstract forces, whether they be light, heat, electricity, magnetism, or gravity. These forces are neither in the past nor the future. They just are. In conclusion of this particular focus on desire of successful fulfillment of any goal, let us consider a good list of things to consider. Number one, list your desire. Carry that list physically and or mentally wherever you go. Look at that list before you go into silence or meditation. Look at it before you go to sleep, for this is an especially good time to poke in your wishes. Look at them again when you awaken and see what thoughts you have to offer regarding same. Number two, release this list of desires and surrender it to creation, trusting that when things don't seem to go your way, there is a reason, and that the cosmic plan has designs for you which are much grander than even those that you have conceived for self. Number three, remind yourself to practice present moment awareness in all your actions. Refuse to allow obstacles to consume and dissipate the quality of your attention in the present moment. Accept the present as it is and manifest the future through your deepest, most cherished intentions and desires, while allowing a detachment to the thing in point. In detachment lies the wisdom of uncertainty, friends. In the wisdom of uncertainty lies the freedom from the past, from the known, which is the prison of past conditioning. You must be willing to step off into the unknown, that field of all possibilities, in order to surrender yourselves to the creative mind that orchestrates the whole movement of the universe. There is no merit in forcing solutions on problems, for in force there is only the creation of new problems. Participate in everything with detached involvement, and the solutions will pass for your inspection. You need to factor in uncertainty as an essential ingredient of your experience. This allows you the very fundamental ability to create what you desire, for in the uncertainty you have flexibility. Be willing to accept uncertainty, for, as stated, solutions will spontaneously emerge out of the problem, out of the confusion, disorder, and chaos. The more uncertain things seem to be, the more secure you can feel, because uncertainty is your path to freedom. It may seem to be a contradiction, but it is through the very wisdom of uncertainty that you will find your security. Why? Because you are not locked into an outcome. You are going to have to step out there into the field of all possibilities and anticipate the excitement that can occur when you remain open to an infinity of choices. In this way, you can then choose the best solution and choice. This allows for the experiencing of all of the fun, adventure, magic, and mystery of life to expression. When you get your Dharma, purpose in life, connected through your pure potential with your giving and regiving, noting the cause and effect of each thought and action, recognize the karmic influences at play, take the least effort to objective intention and desire while remaining detached, you shall be back around to creating and fulfilling your purpose.
Repeat that.
Be glad to.
It encompasses all of the seven laws to spiritual success.
When you get your Dharma, purpose in life, connected through your pure potential with your giving,
you see,
and
you are born with absolute, pure, 100% potential.
It's unfortunate that we didn't get to read the potential one, because it fits with this one.
Yes, it does, but it's there.
Your pure potential.
And if you want it, maybe you could get a copy.
With your giving and regiving.
You must give. That indicates what it is you are also trying to get. And if you always do it in the relationship of to another, prayer for another, always giving, because life experience is nothing save this electric universal giving and regiving. Outfolding, enfolding. Cycling out, cycling back. And guess where you are? You're in the time of it cycling from within, without. You've got to bring all this stuff that's within you, without you. And then it can refold. So you must learn to receive as well as to give. But without giving and re-giving, you can't get a thing except headaches.
Giving and re-giving, noting the cause and effect of each thought and action.
Everything. Everything in the universe is that duality. Whether it be a thought, or an action, or a movement, everything in the universe is cause and effect. And when you can sort that, your mind will just go right down the line to its goal. Next.
Recognize the karmic influences at play.
I've also written about the karmic. That's always a biggie, especially from the Far East and the teachers. It is just a good word. Don't get hung up on karma. I was such and such in 13 lives before, and now I got to pay the price. Karma is that thing, that lesson that you need to work on to gain. You can allow karma to control you, or you can control it and utilize it for exactly what it's for, something to pivot around in your learning. And you will each have something that you want to perfect a little bit more. But until you can get control of karma, you will allow it to control you. And you'll use it for every excuse under the sun. I can't help it because in 13th lifetime, I abused this person. So now it's perfectly all right if that one abuses me. And you will always have a mystic to tell you exactly why and who that is. And there will always be a psychic to tell you that on the 13th you may die. Never, you will. But you will take that as you will die in front of a Mack truck. That rules out Peterbilts and Mercedes trucks. But guess what? If you've made up your mind to accept that, you will find yourself a Mack truck to get in front of. So don't let this karmic garbage control you. It is there for your lessons. You will intuitively know what it is you need to do. And always, 100% of the time, it will revolve around service to others. Until you can equate each of your actions and intent and desire with service unto God and others, which is God, isn't it? You can't get away from it. It's one thing. You are one thing. And until you can treat everything else in that oneness, you haven't got the point. It's a little bit like John being hung up on his car. You can get so hung up on something that you don't see anything else. Like a way to go get another damn car. When you focus in on something that is so self-centered, just self, I want, and I'm going to get, and I'm going to get them, and I'm going to, you know, they got me, and this is revenge play back and forth. It has nothing to do with karma, and it certainly has nothing to do with dharma, which is your purpose of being alive. Your purpose of being, your life, life in truth expression must focus on another. If I have, I must give to you, or I cannot receive. And it's why I've said, don't get on your knees to me. I don't work well from my knees, and if that's where you are, that's where I have to be. And if you've got to be in the gutter, God's got to be in the gutter. Because He won't leave you. You will try to leave Him, but He will never leave you. And if you begin to think in these terms, for my brother, Matakison, for my relations, I can only fulfill myself through service and giving to my brother. And that is an inclusive term of humanity. And if we don't learn that, our species, yours and mine, will eventually disappear. You will become something else. And let me tell you, that other alternative is not what you want to be. But that's another lesson. Go to the next one.
Take the least effort in objective intention and desire.
All right. Nature is an evolvement. Left alone, a seed planted will come up, be nourished, and it just is. It grows. There is no conscious effort in it. You may put conscious effort into its growth, but it doesn't. It just is. It's just there. It will be what it will be. But in the being what it will be, it's not going to become a petunia if it's a sunflower seed. And the more effort you put into forcing something to blossom, you may very well end up with a disaster and no blossom at all. You must allow like thoughts to deal with problems. You cannot hope to solve a legal problem over the property case if all your effort is getting even with Stephen Horn or worrying about your car. John cannot do a thing about his situation as long as all he worries about is his car. And pretty soon there's nobody who wants to even hear about it enough to help. That isn't the problem. That only is the focus. So stop making an effort. That doesn't mean you don't effort at solutions, but you allow an evolvement without pushing. Go get into a state of relaxation and silence. Put in your problem and allow effortlessly this evolvement. And you'll begin to see. You'll begin to hear. Next one.
Take the least effort in objective intention and desire while remaining detached.
Okay.
The next one was while remaining detached.
You have to remain detached while you are sorting your intention. You already should know your desire. You're going to have to realize what it is you want. And that is attached to goal. I want to be one with God. And my intention is to be one with God. So now I've got desire, I've got intention. That means a willingness to act. And therefore I can judge myself on those actions. But I must stay detached enough to be able to observe the best way to travel to reach his goal out here. How do I get within my intention and my desire enough to fulfill my journey and achieve my goal? Therefore, goal seeking has to be one of the major, major encounters with self. What do I really want? What does John really want? Does he want his car? Or is there something else actually the man wants that goes so far beyond the car that it is only a distraction here? Quit letting your distractions mold your goal. Because if you limit yourself and you get your car and you can't afford to put gas in it, which is going to happen to all of you anyway, what good is it? It means something to you because it was a piece of property, an acquisition that you were very pleased to have. But if it is wheelless up on blocks, it is only a frustrating, painful thing to witness. So we I only use this as an example. I'm not picking on John.
Commander?
Yes.
You seem to be answering all my questions I was going to ask, but I'd like to add that Buckminster Fuller, after losing his family and his job and going crazy, went into silence 2 years and realized that he learned to do a lot with little. That's exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, and sometimes you just got to get crazy, don't you?
What?
Maybe we're all in that.
I am crazy.
That phase. We are crazy. But we're beginning to be able to isolate a little better what we're working for. And it's worth it. It really is worth it. And only from this comes sanity. And you look around and you think, oh, I liked it better crazy. Because sane doesn't fit in this illusion of chaos. But out of the sanity then can come order. As you see these other things coming together. As you see the things you've been taught to utilize and you are willing to use them properly with a focus on the right goal, you can't lose. Everything along that way is just a step. Just a step. And if you allow something to toss you off the side, there is where you err. Get yourself up and climb back there. There's always a brother that'll stick out a hand and say, come on, get off your ass and get up here. That is probably the very strength that Little Crow has been to Dorma through all of this period of 8 years of hard learning and lessons. You know, every now and then she makes the mistake of calling him. Especially when you think you can't go another step and you're feeling so sorry for yourself. And she knows. She does it for that reason. Because he will say, get off your ass and quit that. What makes you special? I got you on top of the prayer list. What more do you want from me? Nothing, sir. I just wanted to hear you say it. Just needed to hear you say it. Or I just needed to express it and say, I know, I know. Go to the Awankan Wakong. Go to the Nagikong. Tell them your sad story. That's the old wise man. Lay it on your sacred altar before Kontanchila. And grandfather will fix it for you. If you ask him. And you're not asking him just to fix something so you get something. Achieve something is entirely different. When you want to achieve beyond that which you are, then it's worth asking for. And if you want to achieve it because you care enough about your brother, then you've arrived. Go on. I like this. I like this lesson.
Commander, actually there's two kinds of insane and outsane, right?
Not a bad observation.
Which one are we?
We're flexible. We live in the awareness of the moment.
In between.
You shall be back around to creating and fulfilling of your purpose. Your purpose will always be in service. In service to others, you find the perfection of harmony and balance. Just remember that sitting in the middle of the fence is not harmony and balance. It is having made the wrong choice. You may well function on either side of the fence as need arises, but to live on that fence is temporary in every concept. Gold, money, is not evil or good. The use of the commodity makes a decision as to its value. If you think you can relate and experience evil without having it rub off on you, think again. You are not actively changing evil intent of another with whom you are experiencing. Let me start that one again.
You better start that one again.
If you are not actively changing evil intent of another with whom you are experiencing, then you are accepting the evil as surely as if you are training to teach the same. Remember that the simple nodding of the head indicates concurrence and will be used as such when you least expect it by the one to whom you nodded. It also sets appearances of circumstances, and ones are always judged by the company they keep and the actions performed. If I, for instance, see you laughing with and nodding, as in agreement with someone I know serves evil intent, then I am going to assume you are in coalition and agreement with that adversary. I have no other thing upon which to base my conclusion. For if you choose my adversary's company, you have chosen to not have mine, except, perchance, to use me in some manner. I would hope that you can sort your feelings in positive activities from the fragments of input from these lessons, for when you can, you will have grown in limitless leaps and bounds. If you think you can experience in both worlds of expression, think again, for you are birthed to be all things, but experiencing in one dimension at a time, in order that you might learn. Please remember that unconditional experience is not the same thing as absolute experience, just as is unconditional love not the same thing as absolute love. All things, all beings, have conditions. When you properly condition your desires and intentions, you will have ability to win whatever prize you seek. Good morning.
Aho. Would be fun to have the ability to just have a school, wouldn't it? Where we can replenish our... Well, we already know. It isn't that anyone in here isn't studied enough to know these things. It's just that when we're bashed about and battered a bit, we tend to forget. And it's really good to be able to refresh those memory patterns that say, hey, I know that if I could handle such and such, I can certainly handle this. And I find that in monitoring what most of you are thinking, for instance, when we speak of what might be considered our enemies, we line up the same few and we give them energy. Stop it. They're all lined up over there knowing, waiting, can't wait to get their hands on these tapes. They are going to find something in these tapes to tear us up about. Well, maybe if they listen to the tapes, they might find something worthwhile in there to make their lives a little better so they didn't have to focus on revenge. If you don't rise above your enemy, what purpose is there in winning anyway? You're no better than the enemy. And if they're focusing on all the manners in which they can find slips of your lip to get you, or setting you up so that somebody else can come in and get you from the sides. Now, isn't that something to work for? Isn't that a valid contribution to the freedom of your nation under God? I'd rather you openly state to me, I serve Satan. I know that you do anyway. Why don't you admit it to yourself? And stop trying to fool everybody else around you on the basis, well, it's the principle of the thing. No, it isn't. It's your principle of the thing, what you can gain. Do you think that your enemy is seeking justice? Especially for you? I want you to also remember something else. There's no point in kicking dead dogs. So if you're being kicked quite a lot, it's going to hurt because you're alive and you ain't no dead dog. And if a lot are kicking you and ganging up so that they can be big and strong and really show the world, that is like a 250-pound, 6'4" man beating up a 18-month-old baby. It's disgusting. It's insipid. And it's evil. And it doesn't mean that the man can't kill the baby. But does it make it right? And maybe even the court finds the man innocent. Does that make him not guilty? So, of course, you get tired of being kicked. And it's worse for you because they're trying to force you into doing something that is unlawful. Whatever that might be, whether it's accusation. And so you can't just let it be. There's no way just to sit and let it be. It will just go away like Pollyanna's dreams. Well, when Pollyanna opens her eyes and the dream is gone, the reality hits. And it's not a pretty sight. In the meanwhile, you've hopscotched down the bunny trail, the primrose path, right down there to open Pandora's box and let all the problems out upon you again. Hit me again. I'm still alive. Well, make a big enough target, and it's harder to hit the strategic points. Draw whose side of your goal, which with us is one with God. All things under that are under that. It isn't going to always be your brother to get up with Dorma and write for 3 or 4 hours for me. But responsibility will take over if that is your commitment. And I have to remind her of her commitment, her own Dharma. And what she does is what all of you do. Oh, I don't know my purpose. When I get my purpose, boy, I'm really going to be good at it. So we're just going to have to sit and wait for her to come into her purpose. And meanwhile, if you don't mind, sweetie, we'll just write a lot.